Welcome to another edition of our podcast, Two Guys and an Opinion. My name is Richard.
And my name is Vlad.
And today is the 8th of April, 2021. Good afternoon, Vlad. How are you today, sir?
Good afternoon, Richard. I am absolutely fine.
We start every podcast like this now, don't we? It's kind of become a habit, but it's, you know, it's nice to be nice, I think.
There's nothing wrong asking how the other person is.
No, even though I talk to you every day, without fail, sometimes weekends.
Yes.
But that's okay.
But it's nice.
That's all good. Anyway, right. So today, we kind of following on from last week, we forward trailed slightly somewhat to a... It's rare, Vlad. It's rare in our industry, certainly, and probably in the wider industry of IT, but in our industry of cybersecurity, 20 years, as we keep banging on about, 20 years, man and boy, that I've been in this industry, it is rare to come across a genuinely new capability, not a new idea as such, but a new capability that seems on the surface to actually work and seems to actually deliver real value. I believe we truly believe will soon be something that becomes the norm in a mature organization's tool set. In terms of the fight against cybercrime.
I would say definitely there's value. I wouldn't even bother with this English approach. It seems to be. No, it doesn't seem to be. It does.
Yeah. It absolutely does. No, you're quite right.
It absolutely does. It delivers value. you were being British again. It delivers value. It clearly delivers value. And we will unpack it a little bit more in this episode.
We shall.
But I think you owe the listeners a little bit of an update on the... You know, after our rant around ransomware,
yes,
just where things are with Acer.
Well, first of all, I'm okay now. I'm fine. I've calmed down slightly to slightly less than incandescent levels that I was at last week. It bugs me.
You got a little bit animated. Everybody's just listening to this, but I can see you.
You can actually see.
I can actually see you. Going, you were a little bit out of it, but yeah, go ahead.
Scarlet as the, yeah, anyway. So, I'm okay. I'm fine. Thanks for asking. Not that you did, but I'm okay now. But the main thing was, we talked about the inexorable rise of successful ransomware breaches. And we just picked up one from the week that was of note because it was reported it was one of the, or could, and this is the point, I guess, could end up being one of the largest single ransomware demands. Hopefully they won't pay or haven't paid. One of the potentially biggest single ransomware demands of all time. And this was Acer, the Taiwanese hardware manufacturer of computers and various other bits and bobs. They were attacked by the Reval ransomware. So they were attacked by Reval ransomware. By the criminal gang, also known as Soden Okibi for fans of the show. I think it was, what was that? Episode 2? Travelex.
Yeah, the Travelex. The Travelex, definitely. The Travelex episode for those listeners and fans out there.
Yeah, for the fans out there. If you haven't listened to it, go back. It's a corker. We unpicked the whole sorry tale of the poor chaps at Travelex that got done by this exact same group, Soden Okibi, which led to the near entire demise of the entire 100 whatever it was year old company just by this one attack based on a vulnerability on one VPN server. But anyway, go listen to it. It's a riveting listen. But they're back. I don't think they've ever gone away, but they've certainly grabbed the headlines with this one. So yeah, Acer Technology. We were going to give an update because it was around about the 22nd of March ish, 23rd of March ish that it came out. It was during between episodes that this particular news came out. So we were hoping to give an update on whether they paid, whether they didn't, whether they are back up and running again, what happened. And it's gone quiet, Vlad, from what we can see. Nothing since the 23rd, 24th-ish of March.
It's gone very quiet, which kind of suggests that they still may be grappling with this. So... There is a whole process around incident response,
negotiations.
In this case, I was going to say when it's a question of ransomware, then there is also the potential question of negotiation. You know, we don't know, looking from the outside in, how big of a compromise this is. You know, I would suspect it's not to the point crippling where they cannot function. So they may be negotiating.
Mm-hmm.
And we will probably, you know, as soon as we hear, we'll update everybody, I guess.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Because this is interesting.
It is. Yeah, it is interesting. It reminds me, I was having a conversation this afternoon with somebody, and they said, as a CISO, with another hat, we provide CISO services with another hat on, and they kind of said, you know, from that side of the fence, from within an organization, as a CISO, what's the one thing that kind of is a bit of a cheesy question, but I did it to James Linton a few episodes ago, but what's the one thing that keeps you awake at night? And just without even thinking, I just immediately blurted out ransomware, and they kind of looked a bit like, really, is that just ransomware? And I said, look, think about it. Almost all high-level breaches that you've heard of, almost all are result in ransomware. Almost all motivated attacks, the end goal of the attacker is to install ransomware. The most damaging breach that an organization can have is probably ransomware of some sort. You know, lots of other. I mean, obviously, other breaches are available, but they're not so damaging to your brand and expensive. And yeah,
I think it's definitely the flavor. I think it's the current flavor.
Or maybe it's just because we keep talking about it so much.
Because there is money at the end of this rainbow. So organizations are paying. Companies, organizations are paying. Mm-hmm. So this is becoming, you know, interesting. You know, if you're going to mount an attack on an organization and steal their data, for example, that's not as lucrative attacking them with a ransomware where you can potentially hold them to ransom and get a payout.
Yeah.
So now we're monetizing these attacks. Now, if you, and I believe Nortel Networks, do you remember them?
I remember Nortel. They used to be Networks, was it? Nortel bought over Bay. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, well, Nortel Networks was everywhere, you know, the Canadian outfit. I mean, it was a de facto standard in switching and telephony. It was there. And I think they were hacked for about 6 years without realizing where all of their IPs, internal IP was taken. And eventually, I mean, they disappeared. Now, I'm not saying that they've, you know, disappeared because somebody stole their intellectual property and they were, you know, taken over by somebody, you know, better and cheaper, as usually happens. Yeah. But, you know, it has potentially contributed, right? So, but recently it has been pretty much, you know, everywhere in the news, ransomware, because, as you said, of the impact on the organization, on the brand, on your capital, on your cash flow, it has a wide impact.
Yeah, yeah, and of course, depending on what data is potentially lost, or because we talked about it last episode, but the trend within the trend of ransomware now is this kind of double ransom, where they not only encrypt your data, but before they encrypt it, they steal it, they exfiltrate it, and then say, look, you know, we've got you by both of the
that's an interesting point. That's an interesting point, actually. Yes. Because if you think about this double whammy, where first your data has been taken, then it's encrypted. And so what we have seen so far is that if ransomware is paid, then the attackers actually are giving you back the keys, you get your data back, everything is fine. They're actually being, you know, true to their word.
Amazingly.
They don't double cross you because, it turns out most of them, because they want to ensure that everybody then starts to understand that if you do pay, things are going to be okay, because it's all about monetizing this kind of an attack. The problem being is, if you are not paying the ransomware, and let's say you can recover, and we have an example potentially we're looking at where, you know, ransomware has not been paid, a company has managed to recover.
Yes.
Now they're worried that the data, what data has been taken, Good and point. Is it out there in the wild? So there is a there's a follow-up to this. The problem doesn't end once you are compromised or once you pay the ransom or recover without paying the ransom.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. As a side note, I am not losing my mind, which is good. I just Googled it. Nortel, they bought Bay Networks. Check that out. This shows how old I am. In 1998.
I think it's scary that you two things are scary. The fact two that you things. Remember that from 1998, but yes. that you had to go and double check.
Well, you know me. Of course I do. They bought, yeah. I mean, this is mad money. Think about this. So Nortel, they bought Bay Networks in 1998 for $9 billion. $9 billion. You don't get those kind of figures a lot these days. Never mind back in 98. Anyway, we digress. So I was working for a company at the time that was installing. It was my first ever job in 98, and we were installing Nortel
switches
and what do they call them? Anyway, lease line terminators and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, God, I'm old. Anywho, didn't have much ransomware back then. So, what was I saying? Point overboard. But yes, no, you're quite right. The double whammy is the new kind of trend in this space. So where are we going with this? Yeah, we don't know what's happening with Acer. We've started talking. Yeah, and we started talking today about a company that didn't pay, that did restore, but the threat actors did say, you know, we've also got your data, so you need to pay on that. And they didn't, so they're worried about where that's gone. So, I mean, there's so many different considerations here. So it's probably about time that we talked about, I mean, I started the episode with saying it is rare that there was a genuinely new capability within our industry. And it's not necessarily a new idea, and it's certainly not necessarily, I mean, it's new to us in terms of seeing it as part of our kind of ongoing, as part of our kind of de facto portfolio for customers that we now talk about. So the original idea, and this is all around, again, our idea of being proactive when it comes to cyber defenses and information security defense, rather than being reactive, being very proactive. And this is about actually, up until now, most vendors in this space simulating a breach, an attack, and a breach. So simulating what would happen if a ransomware attack were successful, or what would happen if a vulnerability were breached and backdoors were installed, or what would happen if, you know, someone kind of clicked on a phishing link or opened an attachment that had some malware in it. What would happen? So there are companies around that have been doing that for a few years, and it had some traction, but it was simulation. So it was very easily done. It was quite staged. People were writing software from scratch, you know, to kind of make it look scary, but it wasn't the real thing, put it that way. It's, you know, it was a bit of a, you know, like a blow up doll. I don't know, analogy overboard, but so the new wave that we're very excited about in this space is breach attack emulation. Now what we mean by that is actually, and this may sound terrifying, and we are doing, trust me, we're doing a lot of due diligence around this, but it's emulation. So it's actually getting real ransomware, real backdoors, real crypto miners, real nasty pieces of code that have been written by the bad guys that have been caught in the wild, like some kind of rare beast, have been caught in the nets in the wild and captured and brought into the system. So we can actually deploy within a very safe, and we won't go into technical detail here because that's not what we're doing. But again, this is the work that we're doing right now. I'm putting it through its paces, but we can actually deploy in a very safe manner real ransomware, the stuff you read about in the headlines. So things like Reval, things like RYUK, things like, you know, eGregor, the crypto miners that you hear of, all of these kind of headline grabbing pieces of malware can be captured and deployed on a gold image of a server, for example, or a gold image of an endpoint, or within a certain network segment that we can kind of hive off, or in a lab. But The point being is that it's the real deal. And what better way to test what better way to test your investment, your process, your incident response plan? I mean, it's basically the absolute epitome. It's a fire drill. It's a fire drill, but with real, fire.
I'm listening to you explain, you know, what the whole point of breach attack simulation or emulation is, but and how it works. But ultimately, it's a validation test of your security defenses.
That's what I was trying to get to. Thank you,
Blake. Because what is happening is, you know, organization. We talked about it, I think, in the last podcast when we said this dichotomy between you constantly investing.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yet you're still exposed, and mm-hmm. the attacks are on the rise. And so what is actually needed is a method mm-hmm. to validate your security defense. And so once you've set everything up and you invested, and hopefully you invested in your vulnerability management, your intrusion detection, your network security, your endpoint protection, all of that is in place. Your architecture is solid. You've run your pen tests on, you know, which we always say are very important. They're very good, but they are point in time, and they are very good for what they are. But they are, you know, it's when organizations just go, well, I've done a pen test 4 months ago, I think I'm fine. And so you've done all of this. You don't know how well those defenses are going to hold up in an attack unless you validate. I was just going to say it's very similar to and you know, how many people have been caught out with this one, whereas, you know, I'm okay, I've got my backup, you know, I've done my backups, and then when you actually have a disaster and you got to recover. Yeah. Either backups or not, you know, I'm not in a state I can actually recover properly. I've lost chunk of data because mm-hmm. of my, you know, backups. It's testing and validation. Yeah, yeah.
I can actually see about three or four people I know nodding along to that, going, "Yeah, we came to restore it, and then we found out that the backup hadn't really been working properly for about 6 months." so yeah, we lost everything. Yeah, there are so many of those. War stories out there. And the other thing I really like about this breach attack emulation is that whatever happens, whatever happens on at the end of that, you know, that kind of exercise, it's valuable. So if the emulated attack is successful, that's valuable, because, you know, you need to shore up your defenses. If the emulated attack is not successful, that's also very valuable, because, you know, for that particular piece of malware, that particular artifact that you were using in that particular incursion attempt, you know that you're cool for that one very particular piece of malware. Now, what we've got to think about, some of the stats here, there are roughly, I mean, you know, they say 80% of stats are made up on the spot, but there's roughly about 4,000 or so new bits of malware recognized every day, or released and made every day. Now, this doesn't say that doesn't necessarily mean these are absolutely new and genuine. This is, and a lot of the time, it's existing known malware that is just slightly tweaked, slightly some code obfuscated, slightly something changed. But when it comes to that then being recognized by programs that have been written, you know, that have signatures written, or that kind of look out for the behavior of these pieces of malware, it's a whole learning process all over again.
Well, we talked about this as well, didn't we? We touched on this in previous podcasts, where we said, look, a significant number of vulnerabilities or breaches are actually a malware that's been taken from, you know, 6-7 years ago and just
polished differently.
Just polished a little bit enough so that the signature file doesn't pick it up.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. It's very, you know, it's very, very similar. It's very similar to the war against class A drugs to a degree. There's what's that one, that cannabinoid one called Spice, that's very popular with the criminal underground. Testing for it apparently is an absolute night. Well, because my brother-in-law's a in the force policeman, you know, testing for it is an absolute nightmare, because all the countries do that produce it, and I'm not going to allege where these countries are, but all that the countries do that produce this, and it's a synthetic cannabinoid. All they do is just slightly alter the recipe, the chemical signature, and then As far as, you know, sniffer dogs or kind of artificial sensors, they can't pick it up. It's just difficult to pick up again. But anyway,
no, but that's,
similar.
Again, is interesting, because if you bring it back to what we've been talking about, you know, so I would imagine that a significant amount of investment, a company like Acer would have put down, invested in their security defenses.
You would have thought. Yes.
I genuinely
and they
think
have.
They would.
That's a given. Yeah.
I think it's a given, you know.
Yeah.
But they were caught out. You know, I can, you know, I'm sure that there's an executive sitting somewhere saying, didn't I just sign off, you know, X amount of, you know, a million plus budget or five, seven, 10 million, you know, dollar budget for the security, you know.
Can you imagine?
Security implementation, security improvements, and we got you know, we got compromised by ransomware.
Can you imagine
that may have started. I mean, I'm just, you know, making stuff up here because I don't know the exact attack, but you know, you could see that, you know, how these ransomware, you know, how it starts. It's a spear phishing attack. You hone in on someone, or you can do maybe a phishing, you know, start off, then you spear phish someone and you're in.
Yeah,
you know, and all it takes, and why these breach attack simulations are really good, like you said, okay, there are so many different viruses and malware and ransomwares out there that you can, but you can start to take groups of these, right? So, how do you respond to a malware that potentially will have a lateral move? You know, will your security, does your network security pick something up? Because we can run these in stages, right? Let's test your network security first. Did we manage to land on an endpoint? Well. Mm. Your network security didn't pick up this. So we may have to look at that as well, right? Then we see how did your endpoint react when a Trojan or a ransomware or a crypto miner landed on the device? Did it pick it up? You know, did it pick it up quick enough?
Yeah.
Right? Because there is that as well, right?
Yeah.
If it doesn't pick up quick enough.
Exactly.
You know, we've been doing some stuff in our lab where, you know, if it didn't pick up quick enough, you'll still have enough time to execute before let's say it's been discovered and quarantined, but you know,
and it's gone lateral.
It's gone lateral. If it's sub 3 seconds, you know, and we've seen that some endpoint protection agents, you know, react within, you know, after the 3 second mark. That's a little bit too late.
Take too long.
Right? So,
I mean, there's one report on, just sticking with the Acer thing again. There's one report on. SC Magazine. There's one report saying that that it may well, I don't know where they're getting their information from, but it may well have come from the our friend and yours, the Microsoft Exchange proxy logon vulnerability. So, you know, that was so well publicized. Well, no, let's be fair to Acer. It was well publicized once it was found. Sorry, not even once it was found. It was well publicized once Microsoft admitted to it.
Yeah, you're talking about the Hafnium.
Hafnium being the group, but the kind of the name of the vulnerability, proxy logon, the Hafnium breach. So, to be fair to Acer, they could well have been. I mean, I guess if we're going to get political, they're in Taiwan, and apparently Hafnium is a Chinese group, so there's some bad blood there. But anyway, anywho,
I don't want to go political.
Let's not go political.
You know, I don't like going political because my views.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say here is why we are talking to our customers and our clients about this permanent state of readiness.
Yeah.
Why it's important that you are constantly validating and testing your security defense. This is nothing new. So your point saying, you know, the concept of testing is not new.
No.
You know, this is in every industry with it. Every product needs to be tested.
Absolutely.
Why? In the security industry, do we think that if I just put I've got my firewall, I've got my vulnerability management, I may have intrusion detection, I've tested, I've done a pen test 4 months ago. Yeah, but in between the following day after the pen test and 4 months later, I have made a number of changes through various projects that some I know about, some I don't know about, thanks to shadow IT, some I don't even know about. And I'm expected to be protected. It's just,
and in that same, you know. Yeah, and in that same time frame of whatever you said it was, 4 months, there will have been tens of thousands of new vulnerabilities discovered. and hundreds of thousands of hundreds, millions, billions of new lines of code delivered to software with zero day flaws in them. You know, it's just anyway. I think we're hopefully getting the point across. And you know, when we first started looking at this breach and attack emulation, I thought, yeah, brilliant idea, love it. But once you've done it, then you know what the problem is. And I was thinking, now hang on, don't be stupid. And this is to myself, that's not the point at all, because it's just like you know, just like the other disciplines we have, vulnerability management. This is a cat and mouse game. This isn't every day, you know, keeping the you know, keeping your finger in the dike, as it were.
You are all analogies.
I'm all about it. Yeah, no, you know what I'm like. But it is, isn't it? It's every day. It's a constant battle.
One of the benefits of having a breach attack simulation program is that you can embed it into your overall process. So, you know, some organizations actually, there are organizations out there that do this well, which is that as part of their release cycle of any project or product, they will have a pen test built in.
Yeah.
Which is great. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is why I'm saying pen tests are really good. They do a very specific thing. So we're not knocking pen tests down. I'm just simply saying for those organizations, I think, you know, an annual or biannual pen test is all that they need. So you want to embed this in, right? I am making changes to my architecture, or I am making changes to my, you know, product, or delivering a new project. I am now going to test after these changes are made. I am now going to run another, you know, retest how my security defenses are holding up after these changes, right? So you want to embed this into your process as part of your release into production or live or whatever the terminology you use in your organization.
Yeah, 100%. And I guess the other, I know, and the other thing that I really like about these guys that we bring on board, we keep calling them these guys mainly because we just want to, you know, when we do announce it, we're going to make a proper splash, hopefully on the podcast and in other medias at the time and other media outlets. But the other thing I really like about these guys is that they are, you know, one of the most nefarious threats, and we just touched on it again with the exchange scenarios. The threat was zero day for a while, i.e. meaning, if no one knows what zero day means, meaning that it was not a recognized vulnerability. It had not been reported by the vendor at the time. And these are some of the most worrying ones. Zero day doesn't mean that they don't exist for a small amount of time. Zero days could exist for months and years. And all it takes is one kind of determined threat actor that is sniffing around in the right place to come across these things through trial and error or a very targeted attack on a particular piece of software. And they are flaws in code, and if they're exploitable, they're a zero day threat. So one of the things I really like about the guys we are working with is that they are writing zero day threats using exactly the same methods that you know these kind of threat actors are using. They are using and again, it's not necessarily from scratch. They're taking existing
To your point,
they're
earlier.
Taking existing malware. Yeah,
a lot of the zero day threats are existing and just signatures.
And then, yeah, slightly obfuscating certain amounts of the code, slightly changing it, and then that's now a new zero day threat for that whatever that particular software is that it exists in. So I really like what we're gonna do with these guys. I think it's now one of these things that should just be a standard part of your overall kit bag in terms of achieving as far as possible your permanent state of readiness when it comes to being ready for attacks. And it's one of those things that it's just a no-brainer when you see it and you understand it. It's not replacing anything again. It's just a better way for being more prepared, Vlad.
No, absolutely. I think it's like you said, it's a no-brainer. It needs to be part of your release process. It needs to be embedded in the organization. If you are really serious about your security defense. And we were talking to a customer today. It was the call I took earlier, Richard, and they were talking about, you know, they are now which is, you know, now they are a little bit more sensitive around security breaches and attack. And I understand, you know, since kind of December, it's been very much in kind of mainstream now media about these attacks because of the attack on Microsoft, because of the attack on Acer, because and of the
winds.
SolarWinds, because of 500 million records that have been dumped into the wild by Facebook, who are keeping quiet. It appears that LinkedIn information has been scraped and also dumped into the wild.
Yeah.
Which I will be going on the dark web as soon as we finish this recording.
See if we're out there. Yeah.
Just to see what's out there. But yeah. You know, the fact that, you know, we always talk about why, you know, the kind of the animated rant we had in the previous podcast where we're saying, you know, the industry has to come together to find better solutions for this, because just throwing money at the problem isn't good enough. And what I like about this product and this breach attack simulation or emulation approach is that it's not just throwing money at a problem, you're actually validating what you've already invested in, which is very, very important.
It's massive. Yeah, it's huge in terms of, you know, yeah, exactly. I have nothing further to add, you on. I mean, you absolutely nailed it.
So. Well, why, thank you.
Well, there you go. On that bombshell, it's probably now a good a time as any, I would say, to kind of draw this one to a close. So, a fairly targeted theme, I guess, on this episode, but something that we're very excited about. Not only because it's very clever, cool piece of tech, but it's also got it's also a really nice new emerging genre, which I'll say is very. Relatively few and far between that this happens in our lifetime. So we are quite pumped about it, as you can probably tell. I don't know whether we're going to announce it next podcast or the one after,
but definitely keep look out for it. We will be announcing it, officially and offering it out obviously as a service to our customers and our clients. So if you are interested, look us up.
Yeah,
we can.
You
know where we are. We can talk to you about this even before the official launch. But it's over the next few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Good, excellent work, Vlad. I think for now it's goodbye from me,
and goodbye from me.
And we'll see you on the next episode. Subscribe, tell your friends, leave a review, and we'll see you next time. Good afternoon. Goodbye.